A backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. I like what Dr. Taylor put in his paraphrasal. It amused me. He said, the backslider shall be bored with himself. But the life of a righteous man is exciting. Woo, glory to God. Well, I'd like to talk for a little bit tonight. Amen. Just keep praying. Amen. Don't quit. Bored or backslid? Well, amen. They go together. They're really the same thing. Amen. Yeah, you know why you're bored? Because you're backslid. Woo, Lord have mercy. Amen. It won't take long. I hope it's not any more painful than that. Praise God. Amen. Don't want anything to do with holiness people anymore. You ever hear anybody say that? You ever hear of any preacher lately saying that? I have. Amen. Don't want anything to do with holiness people anymore. Amen. Well, I'm talking about bored or backslid. Or both. They go together like a horse and a carriage. They're married. Bored and backslid is. Amen. Well, amen. The more you taste and experiment with the world, the harder it is to satisfy you with old-time religion. It's like a child taking up on soda pop and junk foods, and it comes dinner time. Amen. With steak and mashed potatoes and everything good that you can think of. And he says, I'm not hungry. I don't like that old stuff. No, I don't like that. Come on, honey. Don't you want some mashed potatoes with gravy on? No, I don't like that old stuff. Come on, honey. Don't you like some? You want a bite of steak? Real good steak. Mama paid nearly $6 a pound for it. No, I don't like old steak. Honey, don't you? How about some salad? Some nice salad. Some vitamin pack. I don't like old salad. Well, how about some a cocoa? A drink of cocoa. I don't want no cocoa. How about a drink of milk? I want no milk. I don't want anything. You know why he don't want anything? Amen. He just tanked up on a whole bunch of junk food. Amen. And it took his appetite. Help! Praise God. Well, glory to God. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Amen. In heart. I'd like to talk for just a moment about that. In heart. Hey, did you know you can be backslide, slid in heart, and still look like a holiness person on the outside? There's a whole bunch of them doing that. Amen. They don't want to be counted plumb out. They might need the church sometime. Amen. But their heart is not with it. Amen. Their heart has gone astray. They're all time chasing everything else except a closer walk with God. They're all time got time for everything else except a fellowship of the righteous. Something wrong. In heart. Heart gone astray. That happens first. Praise God. The Bible says the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. It's just another way of saying, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. Hey, wait a minute. Amen. Whatsoever, you're going to have a hard enough time with weeds without planting them. Ew, Jerry Wayne, I had a hard time fighting weeds every year when I make a garden, and I didn't plant none of them. I don't think I did anyhow. I didn't mean to. I was trying to kill them. I was trying to get rid of them. Hey, but if you go out and sow weeds, You go out and sow Johnson grass and careless weeds. Some people call them hog weeds. We call them careless weeds down in Arkansas. Man, they'll just take everything. Amen. Well, a 4-H agent down in Kentucky said, let the weeds grow in your tomatoes. It'll shade them. If my weeds grew in my tomatoes, it'd do worse than shade them. You couldn't even find them. Amen. As a matter of fact, it happens anyway, don't it, Brother Cox, sometime. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Whatsoever a man soweth. You don't want to sow bad seed. You're going to have hard enough time with it as it is. At the best you can do, you're going to have hard enough time with it. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. That's another way of saying a backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Amen. The world tonight is dying of heart trouble. Still number one killer in the world. I figured cancer ought to catch up after a while, but they still say it's heart trouble. Number one killer, heart trouble. Amen. Heart trouble. You know why so many young folks are thinking about and committing suicide? Heart trouble. Amen. Got a bad case of heart trouble. They're filled with their own ways. They don't like it. Amen. About 8 years ago, something like that. Amen. I got to the Richlands meeting on Thursday night and got into service a little late and always stay with Brother David Horton up on the hill. And he took me up and he said, we got you a place fixed back here. I went back where they had me a place fixed and I went down the hall and it made a zag that way. And long hall went down that way. And I got down there to the end of the hall and they had fixed me a great big bed on top of something or other down there in the big old family room. And I had the whole suite to myself. Great big family room, fireplace, everything. Amen. Had the whole thing to myself down there. Amen. And you had to walk 30 feet to get back up to the bathroom. And so, amen, the next morning about 5 o'clock in the wee hours of the morning before I figured anybody would be up. I mean, the light was just barely enough to see up the hallway, and I forgot about the zigzag in the hallway. I forgot all about the mirror tile that went all the way to the ceiling. Never even give it a thought. Amen. And here I come walking up the hall. Amen. And somebody's walking toward me in the darkness and the semi-gloom. Amen. And I said, that's Charles Barnett. He's got hair about the color of mine, and he's got a pair of trousers about the color of mine, and so I thought, that's Charles Barnett. Amen. But he was closing in on me pretty fast as I walked up the hallway. Amen. I kept walking up the hallway, and I thought, man, he's closing in as fast, he's going to run into me. So I zigged to the right, and he did the same thing. He went over to that wall, too. And so I zigged to the left, and I kept walking. Amen. And he did the same thing. I thought, I've heard of this before, you know. Amen. We were doing the same thing. Amen. And finally, at last, I decided I'd bypass him just about left of dead center. Amen. And he did the same thing. And then I run into him with my elbow. And when I got close to it, I just laughed because I was running into it. And then I laughed again because I'd run into myself in the mirror. Amen. I had thought that was somebody walking toward me and I had run into myself. Amen. And I preached about it. Through the years, I've preached quite a bit about it. And, I'll be back down there this week down in the mountains preaching. I wish I could take you all with me and all my musicians and all my singers. We'd sing the songs that you've grown tired of here and it'd be brand new down there. We'd play the music that you've taken for granted here and it'd be brand new down there. Oh, what a blessing it'd be if I could just take you all with me. Amen. But I got a lesson out of that. Sooner or later down the road of life, you're going to run into yourself. I want to ask you a question. Will you like what you run into when you run into yourself? The heart the heart. You know why God chose David? He said he's a man after my own heart. He thinks like I do. He looks at things like I do. He likes to worship and sing, and I like worship and singing. Praise God. He's a man after my own heart. He's righteous like me. He said, I have found a man, Samuel, after my own heart. Amen. God liked David so good, he chose his line to be the father of his son in this earth. They called him the son of David. Amen. A man after God's own heart. You know what God's looking for tonight? He'd like to run into a whole bunch of people that thinks like he thinks, that looks at things like he looks at them, that likes the same things he likes, that loves the house of God and the things of God. Hallelujah. Yeah, David could find satisfaction out there by himself, tending the sheep. He could get out his harp. Amen. Practice with his slingshot a little bit. Kill a bear and kill a lion. What an exciting life he had by himself. We run out anything to do, he'd start strumming his old harp. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And oh, he would sing. Sing, sing, sing. Because he was a man after God's own heart. Amen. Luther wanted to teach his preachers to sing. He wanted his preachers to be musical. Amen. That's why God liked David so good. He liked to sing. Amen. You may not be able to carry a tune, you think, but hey, the Lord made the crow just same as he did the canary. Amen. Get in there by yourself in the bathroom out there on the back 40. Amen. If you have a chance to, just sing up a storm. Amen. Cleve Waits sung bass, but he sung the same note all the way through. Amen. But we like Cleve singing bass at the old Big Creek Church Sunday school. Praise God. And Cleve, when he got out in the morning, he lived a half a mile over across the creek from us. But a half a mile away, you could hear him in the morning rounding up the cows, milking time, feeding time. He was just a hollering up a storm. Amen. Cleve was a happy man, singing in the morning out there with the cattle. Amen. Yes. Glory to God. I'll tell you what. A righteous man is a satisfied man. He can enjoy sitting and thinking, meditating, waiting on God. Oh, yes. And that's when great things are born in the way of inspiration. Enthusiasms. God breathes into meditating men. David was like that. Amen. I'll tell you what. A satisfied man, a man that is not backslidden in heart, is nothing like that for healing. Having a healthy body and a healthy mind. Amen. There's nothing like it for joy. There's nothing like it for peace. And there's nothing like it for your marriage. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. The old song says, if you're the kind of guy that has a girl in every port, well, just wait. Some of these days, you'll be hopelessly in love. And she'll be in love with someone else as sure as stars above. And you will have run into yourself. Huh? Amen. All right. Amen. You want to be backslidden in heart? You're bored? Hey, pray through. Until all that thrills my soul is Jesus. Pray through until I look full in his wonderful face. Pray through until things of the earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Bored with God? Bored with church? Bored with fellowship and with the saints of God? Listen, there's something wrong somewhere. You get where you need to be with God, you can't hardly wait to get there. You look forward to getting there. Hey, praise God. Amen. Hey, you may have trials, you may have tests, you may have tribulations. And sometimes they may last a while. Amen. But the Lord, I thought it was God, spoke to me 2 years ago a little better. I'm going to heal your body. I'm going to heal your church. I'm going to heal your ministry. I don't want to miss that, do you? I don't want to miss that. That's an exciting thought, praise God, just to be around when all that happens. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, I want to be on hand. I want to be on fire. I want to be ready when all that happens. Amen. Praise God. And you want to be there, don't you? Do you want to miss it? Someday, I'll lay down life's burden. Oh, I don't want to miss it. Do you? Amen. Backslid or bored? Hey, all you got to do is pray through. All you got to do is get right. Prayer still works. Consecration and renewing vows and commitment still works. Amen. I was there Friday night when all those men was praying right down here in this section. And the awfulest gob of men started shouting that you ever saw or heard tell of. And Keith Shockley back there was one of them, one round of it. Amen. And I'm telling you that them all shouting and a stomping and a dancing at the same time, it felt like they was having an earthquake in church. Amen. I mean, the whole building was, you take a whole bunch of fat preachers and a whole bunch of big grown men, amen, all a stomping and a shouting at the same time. I mean, things was vibrating. Woo, glory. They say in that revival on Azusa Street, they first cleared the lumber out of an old building and went into the upstairs as I was having church. Amen. And they all got to shouting at the same time, like all those men got shouting the other night at Dryden Road. Amen. And man, it was shaking that whole area of the church like it was having an earthquake. They all got to shouting out there in California on Azusa Street, and the whole first floor of the building fell to the whole second floor of the building fell to the first floor. And it fell all at once. It's a good thing they was all in one mind and one accord, because if it had been shouting in one corner it fell and it all slid off. But it all fell at once. They was in one mind and one accord and the whole thing fell at once and nobody got hurt. Amen. You talk about excitement. We have more fun by accident than most folks does on purpose. Praise God. And it's wholesome. It don't leave a bad taste in your mouth. Amen. It don't make you ashamed to look yourself in the mirror. Amen. Next morning. And you're not put out so bad when you run into yourself. Somewhere down the road, around the mountain, you're going to run into yourself. You'll run into what you've created. You'll run into what you've built. Tell me, will you like it when you run into yourself? Amen. The backslider in heart is bored with himself. It takes a lot of things to keep him happy. Liquor, drugs, tobacco, worldly pleasures, illicit sex affairs. It takes a lot of things to keep him happy. Amen. But the righteous life is excited. He's excited. Amen. He never runs out. Stand with me. Amen. Of blessings. Amen. I started to tell you, a few years ago, Brother Charles Valentine was going through trial. He resigned his church. They put him on strong medication. He wouldn't do anything in church, but he would go to church. A year while back, he had a heart attack. Took him to the hospital. Did the plastic shot and the operation and everything. Took him off all that old nerve medicine he was on. And I mean, when he got home a few weeks ago, praise God, Brother Charles Valentine suddenly had a resurrection in his ministry. He suddenly started testifying again. Amen. He stood up and testified out at Richland. Praise God, you folks that went to Richland didn't tell us about that because you didn't know like we know what Brother Charles Valentine had gone through. But Brother Ralph Harden told them, folks, you don't realize what a miracle this is as Charles Valentine stood up and testified how the Lord was his shepherd. He wouldn't do anything just a few years ago, but he's coming out of the cake going back on the evangelistic field preaching again, and Billy Joe can't keep up with him. She had to hold him by the hand. Amen. Our righteous men may go through trials too. Sometimes they get old, and amen, takes a little longer for God to repair sometimes when you get a little older. Woo! But wait on the Lord. Man, it'll be something worth seeing when God helps you like he has Brother Charles Valentine. Amen. I mean, talking about going back out and preaching again. I mean, getting up without being asked. Hallelujah. Testifying and preaching right in the aisles. For years, he sat like a zombie, depressed. Amen. For years. But all of a sudden, he exploded. Glory to God. He went back into action. Hey, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Come around the altar tonight and let's wait on him a while. Chapter 9 is right in the middle of the week. The Antichrist breaks his covenant with the children of Israel, his league, his treaty with the children of Israel. They have bought his bill of goods, and some are acclaiming him to be the Christ, the Messiah, and amen, he will deceive many. This prince will, this false shepherd will. Amen. The first 3.5 years will be a period of unprecedented prosperity under the hands of the Antichrist. Amen. And then he'll bring his own image, according to the Bible, into the temple in Jerusalem. He is not satisfied to reign from Babylon. Amen. Which he will take over. Amen. And make it the capital of the revised Roman Empire. Amen. And in the middle of that week, he'll break his league and come right in Jerusalem and set up his tabernacle between the seas. And he will think to change the times and laws and set his own image up, according to the Bible, to be worshipped. His image is the abomination of desolation. That last 3.5 years will be the greatest period of the tribulation. Amen. Now, Jesus said that after the tribulation, of those days that the Son of Man would appear in this same Matthew chapter 24. Amen. He said, immediately at verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. When? After the tribulation of those days. Then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Amen. Now, this was, for years, one of my two proof texts that Jesus was coming after the tribulation. Brother Gerald Green, his whole family believed in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, and I would argue with them in our young ministry. Amen. And this was one of my proof texts for 12 years. When I came to Ohio and 41 years ago, last January, and preached 4 weeks, I was a mid-trib preacher. Amen. I believed that the church would see at least 3.5 years of tribulation. Not only was I a mid-trib, shall we say, preacher. Amen. The pastor that pastored over there at Franklin Street, he was also mid-trib. He could quote about all the New Testament, and he could give me other proof texts that proved that the church was going through the tribulation, and Jesus wasn't coming until after at least half of it. Amen. And this was one of my proof texts. Amen. Now, the other proof text was in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you. Boy, I could preach that. Amen. For 12 years, I could preach that. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, which is the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Amen. And I could prove by these two scriptures the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now let will be let till he will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked be revealed, which the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him. This was my nailer downer proof text. Even him whose coming is after the work of Satan, with all signs and lying wonders, etc., etc., etc. Amen. And I preached that. Those were, as far as I was concerned, all that you needed to know about the coming of the Lord. I admitted that there were many prophecies in the Old Testament, many prophecies in the Scripture that I didn't understand. I admitted that I was not a student of prophecy. Therefore, amen, I just used these two proof texts and preached a shall I say, elementary version of the coming of the Lord. That was quite simple as far as I was concerned, amen, that the Lord was coming after the tribulation. Praise God. Well, we saw in the book of Revelations, the brethren did, that the wrath of God would be poured out without mixture in that last half. And so we believe that this church wouldn't come under the wrath of God. Amen. So we compromised. and all the brethren that believed in the coming of the Lord after the tribulation compromised and said, since the wrath of God is in the last half, the church will go through the first half of the tribulation and be caught out of the middle of the tribulation period, and we call that mid-trib. Amen. But, children, if you take Matthew 24 and 2 Thessalonians as your only criteria for prophecy, you are a post-tribulation preacher. Post means past, after. Amen. One fella said he was so pre-trib he didn't even eat post-toasties. Amen. Amen. Well, we compromised, and the brethren across the country that are still friends of mine that still believe, you know, that the church is going out mid-trib somewhere. Mid-trib. Amen. And we had these proof texts, and we had the text in the in the book of Revelation. And my friend, Brother Buster Wilson, would shake him big jaw and say, sweet Lamb of God. He said, how can an Antichrist make war with the saints if there ain't no saints? And I didn't have any big jaws to shake, but I preached it just as hard as he did. The Antichrist, amen, would make war with the saints. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Amen. If you preach the Antichrist is going to make war with the saints, amen, you're going to either be mid-trib or post-trib. Well, the Antichrist comes in under deception the first half, amen. And so the Antichrist may or may not make war with the saints, amen. There is another element there that makes war with the saints, and that is the great whore, the false church. She drinks the blood of the saints. Amen. And she does that in the first half of the tribulation. And he destroys her, gets rid of her in the at the middle, because she's in the way of him setting himself up to be worshipped. And so she has rode on the beast and drunk the blood of the saints. But how much the Antichrist makes war with the saints probably will quite a bit. But the worst thing to fear is a false church. One of the worst things, I'll say, in the first half of the tribulation period. She drinks the blood of the martyrs. Amen. Well, so we had all these proof texts. Well, if we take these proof texts, and a friend of mine explained very strongly, amen, that using the law of interpretation, that you had to interpret 2 Thessalonians to mean that the church would see the great tribulation, the revelation of the man of sin, and that they would be in it, witnesses to it. Amen. That's what he preached. I have a lot of friends, and I have a lot of them by here that preach for us that are just exactly where I was 41 years ago when I preached right here in Hamilton for 4 weeks. Amen. In fact, I continued to be a mid-trib preacher until I started pastoring the church at Barberville, Kentucky, and preached it real strong at Barberville. Amen. Until I begin to dig into prophecy. Amen. Well, I begin to dig into prophecy and see the destiny of the Jews and put all the pieces together and literally interpret the book of Revelation word by word and verse by verse and chapter by chapter. Amen. Eventually, I bowed to the fact that the church would escape the great tribulation. All of it. The ready church would escape the great tribulation. That the tribulation had to deal with a different economy than the church altogether. Well, when Jesus came on the scene and was preaching to the Jews, he was preaching to that economy in Matthew chapter 24. He was preaching the destiny and future of Jerusalem and the Jews as prophecy related unto them. Amen. Without hardly scarcely mentioning the church or anything about the church. And I found that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, even though it strongly taught a post-tribulation coming of Christ, it did not do away with the fact that the church would escape the tribulation. The ready ones would escape. Amen. When I begin to put all the pieces in their rightful place and begin to study prophecy in depth, I had declared from the pulpit many times, I said, if I ever see it, I'll preach it. Well, when I saw the light, amen, there wasn't nothing left to do but preach it. And boy, did I preach it. Have I had a time of it preaching what I one time did not espouse. Amen. And that is a pre-tribulation escape of the church. Hallelujah. Luke 21:36, he said, pray that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things which have come upon the earth and stand before the Son of Man. Amen. Boy, 1 Thessalonians, amen, chapter 4 deals with the escape of the church. Amen. And that we're not under wrath, praise God. We which are alive shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. What's he going to raise them from the dead for? Amen. To take them through the tribulation? No. Amen. To meet the Lord in the air. Praise God. One of the strongest scriptures that you could probably use, if people would just grasp onto it, to prove that the church is going to escape, the ready church, the blood-washed church, the redeemed church, is that God is no respect of persons. Now, if that be true in the church in this Gentilian era, amen, and some of the church is going to escape and others are going to have to go through the tribulation, that wouldn't be treating everybody alike. He would have to resurrect some of my good friends from the grave and take them through the tribulation in order not to be a respect to persons. Well, they preached we was going through the tribulation, and so, amen, they'd have to be resurrected from the grave to go through the tribulation. But God is no respect of persons. Amen. If you're really saved and you're really ready, you will escape with the first load. You will escape most of all the things that's going to happen in the tribulation. There may be some preliminary things that we'll see. Amen. But for the most part, we will escape all of the great tribulation. Amen. That's according to the Bible. But listen to the 5th chapter of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. But at the time of the season, brethren, ye have no need to write unto you, for ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Those that's not ready. Those that have rejected God. The backslidden in heart. shall not escape. Amen. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Huh? You're all the children of the light and the children of the day, and not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Ninth verse. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Oh, there's where we had to compromise. We had to compromise and come out with a mid-trib doctrine. That since the wrath was the last half, and that was the wrath without mixture, amen, we put the church rapture right in the middle of the tribulation period. We'd see half of it. Amen. We wouldn't see the wrath. But then that does away with your proof text. That throws to the four winds your proof text. Because the proof text says he's not coming till after, amen, these things happen. After the tribulation of those days, Matthew 24. After the man of sin has been revealed, amen, 2 Thessalonians. Oh, wait a minute. Amen. We had all kinds of contradictions, enough contradictions to put my brain in a whirl. Amen. But then I came back to my proof text. It just got to be. Amen. The church is going through. Hey, if you use those proof texts, you can't be mid-trib. No, mid-trib is a compromiser's gospel. Amen. You use Matthew 24 as proof text, you are post-trib as you can be. You can't be no more post-trib than 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Amen. Hallelujah. After the tribulation of those days. Well, now, Jesus told the church of Philadelphia, because thou hast kept the word of my testimony, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the earth to try thee. Somebody's going to be kept from it. Somebody, according to Luke chapter 21, verse 36, is going to escape, going to be worthy to escape those things which shall come upon the earth. Amen. Oh, I'd like to be one of those worthy ones, wouldn't you? I'd like to be one of those worthy saints. Well, how do you be worthy? He said, pray. This is a prayer service. There's not a greater reason to pray than to pray that ye may be accounted worthy. To watch and pray, Jesus said. Pray that ye may be accounted worthy. Amen. Well, what do you believe is going to happen to these brethren that taught that there's going to be a mid-tribulation rapture? I think they'll be saved. Because God expects us to walk in all the light we've got. Amen. And if you don't have the light, if you willfully reject it after you come to knowledge of truth, they might get in trouble there. Amen. And they may lose some reward because they were too dilatory to study to show themselves approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Amen. If you happen to be a post-trib preacher or a mid-trib preacher, you're in awful good company. Because some of the greatest preachers that ever wore shoe leather was mid-trib and post-trib, and some that they still read their books and treasure their books for other things today. Amen. We're all millennial. That means that Christ's already come and he's already reigning, and we're going to gradually work into the millennial time. Amen. And so you're in awful good company in all those schools. They walked in all the light they had. Amen. One reason I'm very merciful and very understanding to brethren that differ with me is because for 12 years I preached the same thing they're preaching. I had the same proof text they've got. But I kept studying. I kept digging. and I made sure I was ready to meet the Lord. Amen. And I really braced myself up. If I had to face a man of sin and seal my testimony with my blood, if I had to. Amen. I was ready for anything that came. Amen. Well, Jesus tells us to watch and pray and be ready. Amen.